Ned was riding out in front with Conrad tied over the saddle of a bay gelding. Lyle and Sloan covered their back trail as they made for Gypsum Gap.
I say we cut and run, Slade. This is personal between Ned and Morgan. I can't see no way either of us is gonna make a dime.
I'm afraid you're right, Lyle. Starved to death waiting for Ned to make up his mind to find a bank or a train we can rob.
This snow will cover us if we decide to leave Ned today.
I'm not worried about Ned.
He's dangerous, Slade. He might decide to come after us if we leave.
I'm not worried. I'll kill the son of a bitch if he tries to stop us.
Well, maybe we ought to just shoot him now. In the back. Get the hell away from here.
It'd be easy.
I can draw a bead on him and blow his guts out the front of his belly right now.
Let's wait. I've had a look at Ned's poke. It's full of gold coins. If we're gonna kill the son of a bitch, we may as well rob him.
He's carrying gold?
Lots of it. I seen it myself back in town when he paid for the whiskey.
How much you figure?
A leather pouch bigger than my fist packed with gold coins and paper money. But he's real careful with it. It was an accident when I saw him draw it out. He didn't know I was standing behind him looking.
Well, I say we kill him and take the gold.
You've got to choose the right time for it, and just the right place. He's quick with a six-shooter. If he knows what we're about to do, he'll pull iron and we'll be in one hell of a fight.
I know he's good, but he can't be good enough to take both of us.
Slade turned in the saddle. The roadway was still clear behind him.
I'd have said the same thing about this Frank Morgan. Only he's killed off our bunch one or two at a time and we're in a fix.
You just give the word.
The right time will come.
What's wrong with right now, Slade? I can pull my Winchester and drop him before you can sneeze.
Don't be too damn sure of it.
Are you losing your nerve, Slade? It sure as hell ain't like you.
I'm being smart and careful.
Ned turned his horse up a steep part of the road, Conrad's horse tied to his saddle horn. Lyle glanced backward.
Morgan will hear the shots when we kill Ned. He'll come after us.
All he wants is that crybaby boy of his. You don't know about Ned's gold. If we leave the kid alive, Morgan won't follow us.
It's creepy how one man could kill so many people. Ned keeps saying Morgan is old. He's washed up.
Yeah, he don't seem all that washed up to me.
Slade and Lyle started their horses up the climb.
What he is, he's real damn careful.
Louis Pettigrew saw them a couple of hours after dawn. They were riding behind him on the far side of a yawning, snow-covered valley, a gang of men numbering at least a dozen. They were headed in his direction. He'd heard about outlaw gangs in this part of Colorado territory, and something told him to get away from these men if he could. He heeled the rented horse into a lope.
It could be that gang they told me about at the Wagon Wheel Saloon.
He wasn't thinking about Frank Morgan any longer, or the story he'd come here to write. Just getting out of this part of Colorado territory alive would be enough to satisfy him after finding out the truth regarding Morgan and his overblown reputation. His horse galloped through the snow on an old mining road climbing into snow-clad mountains. He remembered the road from his ride down out of Denver before the late spring snowstorm hit.
Oh, I'm getting too old for this.
He'd been to Africa and South America in search of news his readers wanted, but this trip to the Wild West was an utter waste. Frank Morgan, one of the last living gunfighters, was a myth, a legend in the overactive imaginations of men with nothing else to talk about.
Who the hell is that?
Tin Pan and Frank watched a man in a derby hat riding hard in their direction. He only caught brief glimpses of the rider coming through the snow. It was an odd place to find anyone who was pushing a horse so hard. That spelled trouble in Tin Pan's experience.
I got no idea. Whoever he is, he's in a hurry. Unusual in this weather.
Maybe somebody's after him. Sure does seem like it.
Hard to say.
Frank squinted into the snowfall.
He dressed like a city slicker. Real strange place to find a tin horn, especially when the weather's this bad.
Yeah, and one that's in a hurry. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'll ride on ahead to keep an eye on Ned Pine and my boy. You stay back and watch this fella. See what he's up to, and if anybody's after him, maybe he's being followed. That would explain why he's riding so fast. There could be somebody behind him.
Martha would tell me. He rides by this knob and she keeps looking southwest. I'll know there's somebody on his trail.
I never met a man who put so much trust in a mule.
Tin Pan gave him a sideways look.
You'll learn one of these days, son, if you stay alive long enough. A mule has got better instincts than any dog or any man. Better senses, too. If you aim to stay in this high country, you'll get yourself a good mountain mule.
Frank was still grinning when he rode off to the north behind Ned, Conrad, and the two remaining gunmen with Ned now. Tin Pan stepped out from behind a tree with his rifle aimed at the man in the bowler.
Hold it right there, mister!
The man jerked his winded horse to a halt and threw his hands in the air.
If you intend to rob me, sir, you'll be sorely disappointed. I'm not carrying any large amount of money, just a few dollars.
I ain't no highwayman. You're gonna kill that horse if you keep running him through these snowdrifts. All right, you can lower them hands now.
The stranger let his palms drop to the top of his saddle horn, though he did it slowly.
Now speak up!
Tin Pan held his rifle at the ready.
There's an outlaw gang behind me. It may be a man by the name of Ned Pine. There are at least a dozen of them. They're following me. At least, that's the way it appears. I was told of several outlaw gangs roaming about in this area, to be very careful to avoid them.
Ned Pine ain't following you. He's in front of you. And my partner Frank is trailing him into these here mountains.
Could that be Frank Morgan?
Maybe. What business is it of yours? How come you know that name?
I came out west, out here from Boston, to write a story about him. He was a gunfighter.
Yeah, he could be called that.
Only I found out he's a fraud. There is no story to write about him. I met some gentlemen in Cortez who know him. They told me all about him. He shoots his victims in the back or murders them in their sleep. He isn't a real shootist at all.
Oh, shit! Who told you that, mister?
Lewis glanced behind him before he spoke again.
One was named Ford Peters. Mr. Peters knew Morgan from years back. Then another gentleman by the name of Vic Van Bergen told me the rest of the story. About how sneaky Frank Morgan was. He was a coward.
Damn!
What's so funny?
Oh, you got several things mighty wrong. First off, Frank Morgan may be the quickest draw with a handgun this side of the whole Mississippi River.
I was told otherwise.
Yeah, well, you got bad information. But when you listen to Victor Van Bergen, you were hearing from one of the leaders of the outlaw gangs you're so worried about. Him and old Ned Pine has robbed banks and trains all over the place. I don't know him personal, just by reputation. But he's a no-good cutthroat and a robber by profession. If you met him, you're lucky he didn't rob you.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
I'd heard from various lawmen that Frank Morgan was a real gunfighter, perhaps one of the last of his breed. My name is Lewis Pettigrew. I'm with the Boston Globe, and my readers are hungry for stories about real-life gunmen. But those men told me Morgan was a fake, that he wasn't a real gunfighter at all in the true sense of the word. They described him as a common murderer.
Morgan's a real thing. You can print that if you take the notion. He's killed 8 or 9 of Ned Pine's outlaws, and before it's all over, he'll kill the rest of them, and most likely Ned Pine himself.
Pettigrew glanced over his shoulder.
My God. The men I was talking to last night are outlaws and robbers?
Now you're getting a picture. Like I said, you're lucky you wasn't robbed yourself.
Would Mr. Morgan grant me an interview so I can present his story to my readers?
Oh, I can't say for sure. One thing you can count on, he ain't talking to nobody until he gets his son back.
His son?
And Ned Pine is holding his boy for ransom. Morgan's after Ned to save his boy's life. He ain't just some cold-blooded killer.
Darker clouds scudded over the knob where Tin Pan was talking with Lewis Pettigrew. The snowflakes grew thicker on gusts of wind.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Morgan. I'd like to tell our readers his side of the story.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to wait until his business with Ned Pine is settled, that's for sure.
May I ride along with you in order to meet him?
Yeah, maybe. If you can keep quiet, I won't guarantee Morgan will talk to you.
I'll take that chance.
Tin Pan lowered the muzzle of his sharps.
My name's Tin Pan. Clarence Rushing was what I was called back when I was a sight younger.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Rushing, or Mr. Tin Pan.
Ah, Tin Pan is what they call me. I used to pan for gold in these mountains.
Did you find any?
Not a single flake of placer. I trap furs now. Pays better. Ride that horse over this hill. I'll fetch my mule and the borrowed horse. We'll catch up to Morgan in a couple of hours, maybe less.
What about those men behind me?
Morgan will take care of Van Bergen and his gang just like he did the bunch with Ned Pine. You got a chance to give your readers back in Boston a first-hand account of how a gunfighter goes about his profession, if things go like I figure they will.
Ford Peters turned to Vern.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. We ain't robbing nobody. We're following Vic Beck to get some gab so we can freeze our asses off while Ned Pine gets his revenge against his Frank Morgan.
But damn sure ain't making no money.
The two brought up the rear of Van Bergen's gang.
I say we light a suck out of here and go back to Texas.
Vic will send the rest of the boys after us if we run out on them. They'll hunt us down.
If this snow gets any heavier, nobody will know we're gone until we've got a few hours lead time. We can make it if we push our horses.
It's taking a hell of a chance.
We take chances every time we rob a bank or hold up a train. We could get our heads blown off riding with Van Bergen.
But we've got a chance to make some money while we take those chances.
We damn sure ain't got that chance here.
First chance we get, let's ride back.
It makes sense.
Snow's starting to fall heavier. It'll make it easy for us to get away.
Vern pulled his bandana higher on his face to warm his nose and mouth.
I'm with you, Ford. Whenever you decide to light out of here, we'll ride like hell back to the south.
Just give this snow a few more minutes. Hell, Vic won't know we're gone until we're halfway back to Cortez if this snow gets any worse.
Then maybe we hadn't ought to use this road.
They rounded a stand of trees.
Only way to make good time. We spur these broncs until their flanks are bloody. We can steal fresh horses back in Cortez and make for the Texas Panhandle. Or head for the New Mexico Territory line.
Shoots the hell out of me. I've never been so goddamn cold in my life. As far as I can tell, we're doing this for nothing.
Oh, you got that right. I'm flat busted. And Vic ain't showed no signs of wanting to fill my pockets with a share of any bank loot.
Let's pick our spot and disappear. I'll bet Alan Todd will go with us.
Ford nodded.
Right up there and talk to him. Be sure you pull him up to one side. If Vic finds out what we're planning to do, he'll start shooting at us. Some of the others will side with him, too.
Vern urged his horse up to the rear of the bunch and motioned Al, then Todd, off the trail. The others didn't seem to pay any attention to what Vern was doing. The three men held a short conversation. Then Vern trotted his horse back to Ford.
They're ready to pull stakes whenever we are.
Now's as good a time as any.
Four riders peeled away from the rear of Victor Van Bergen's gang. They struck a lope toward the south, glancing over their shoulders until they were half a mile away.
We've done it. Vic won't send anybody after us now. And by the time he notices we're gone, this snow will have covered our tracks.
2 hours of following Ned and his men through dense forests along a winding road put an edge on Frank's nerves.